Good morning, everybody. We're glad you guys could join us. We got a little crew here in person and another one online. Mitzi?
Well, I think people are coming in.
Yeah, so we're glad you guys could come to join us today. It's a sunny day, but it's icy in the parking lot. Hopefully everybody's safe. And we're glad you guys could be here to come worship. Hello, Yino.
Hi.
Let's all worship together in song. Cindy's going to try something different. We got the piano going. And so we encourage you guys to sing along. And us in person, of course, we're going to be singing along too. You guys that are at home, we encourage you guys also to sing too, right? When you sing to worship, the most important thing is for God to hear, right? You're singing to God. So it doesn't really matter if there's nobody else in the room. It's all about worshiping and praising God. And so, yeah, even if you're home alone, you have your mic muted, but still worship the Lord in song. And even if you don't sing so good, that's fine too. God cares about your heart, and that's what matters. So let's worship together in song. Sorry, every time we go back to the Chinese back here, I always get mixed up a little bit. So let's all rise and read the call to worship together. I picked this one again as something for our new year. God tells the people through Jeremiah that the wise person shouldn't boast in their wisdom, right? If you're super smart, like, your smartness shouldn't be about what you brag about. If you're really strong, don't brag about your strength. If you're really wealthy, don't brag about your wealth, right? God doesn't really care about that. But God tells the people, if you're going to brag, if you're going to be proud, if you're going to like, woohoo, something, make it about knowing God, that you know God, that shows faithful love, and that he shows justice, and he shows righteousness on the earth, right? Like, as Christians, something that should be even bigger than anything else, our wisdom, our strength, and our wealth, even bigger is that we know God, the God that created the world, the God that sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, the God that forgives us, the God that allows us to live with them forever. And so I'm hoping for our 2022, that can be our biggest focus, so that we can brag about how we grew with God during 2022. So whether you're at home or in person, let's all read it together. This is what the Lord says. The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The strong should not boast in his strength. The wealthy should not boast in his wealth. But the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things. This is the Lord's declaration. Let's worship in song now.
Thank you, Jonathan. So the first song that I picked was The Goodness of God. And just like we did in the call to worship just now, and Jonathan was sharing last week, part of knowing God is knowing his goodness intimately. And so I just pray that, you know, as we sing, we would ask God to show us his goodness. I know in my own life, sometimes I see God's goodness, but I reject it in my heart because I'm like, that's not enough, God. So I don't know, maybe you guys relate, but I think this morning we can proclaim and sing out that we believe that God's goodness is enough for us, and it's the only thing that we have to cling to. So let's sing together.
Oh,
So again, we want to welcome everybody here today. Glad you guys could join us, whether in person or online. We're just glad you guys could be here. Yeah, and it's already, this is the first English worship of 2022. How many of you guys are perhaps surprised that it's already 2022? I guess only the people that are over 30 are surprised. Well, yeah, it's already kind of surprised that it's already 2022 so fast. 2021 just feels so, it was just yesterday. But we're already 2022. But one thing that is good, that even if things in the world go kind of crazy, God's goodness is still there. We can still experience him in the day-to-day. Not just in the special, you know, let's say special moments, but also just in the simple moments in our daily lives. So we welcome you guys to worship here and to worship the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for allowing us to come to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for being approachable. You are powerful and almighty, Lord. You are enthroned on high. You're the one that created the universe. But for some reason, you still love us and care about us. You sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins so that we could have a relationship with you. Somebody so powerful and just up there wants to know us and wants to be with us, which is utterly amazing. We thank you, God, for that. I pray that as we're here today to worship, whatever it is that's, you know, distracting us, whatever is pulling us away from you, God, I pray that we give these problems to you. Give whatever things that are on our hearts or on our shoulders that are just weighing us down. I pray that we can give them to you for you to take care of. As the Bible says, we should cast our cares upon you because you care about us. Help us to give you our problems so that we can focus on you and worship you and to be here with you today. And for all of us, Lord, I pray that we can experience your grace and mercy in our lives, in our hearts. Help us to really experience it, to make it not just an abstract idea, but something that really hits home. And I pray for anybody here that isn't a Christian, who hasn't believed in you yet. I pray that your grace and love can hit them too, so that they'll turn to you and they'll believe in you. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. Let it glorify and honor you. And may be empowered by your spirit to worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's scripture reading will be read by Mr. Trevor.
Let's all read the scripture together. My kingdom is not of this world, said Jesus. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. You are a king, Pilate asked. You say that I'm a king, Jesus replied. I was born for this, and I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. What is truth? Said Pilate.
Thank you, Trevor. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's continue worshiping in song.
Gift.
Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you've brought us into 2022. And for everything that's happened in 2021, God, we want to learn to give you thanks for everything and to see your goodness and to know your faithfulness, God. You are so faithful, even when we are faithless. So this morning, I just lift up everyone to you. God, we want to experience your love, and we want to know your truth. So I pray that you would open our ears and our eyes. God, you would give us new eyes to see and to a new appetite for you, God. And that we would learn to draw close to you and to rely on your power, that it would be through your power and that you would get all the glory, God. So we just pray all this this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may all be seated.
As you guys all probably know, I'm from the States. Yay! Hooray! And one thing that's really big in the States is kind of this myth of the States being a Christian nation. And one thing I learned over time is that it's not really a Christian nation. A lot of the faith of the founding fathers are super sketchy. Like, for example, this is Thomas Jefferson. In the States, he's the guy that wrote the Declaration of Independence. And for many Christians in the States, they believe that, well, the Declaration of Independence refers to a creator, therefore America is a Christian nation. But there's something interesting if you look into the faith of Thomas Jefferson. How many of you guys actually studied here Thomas Jefferson in Canada? Have they mentioned him at all? Yeah. So he's really famous. When the States wanted to break away from England, they wrote the Declaration of Independence. So here's a document like, we're going to kick you off, England. Forget you, King George. We're going to be independent. And this is the guy that wrote the famous document to kind of initiate all that. So he's one of the founding fathers of the United States. And one thing that's interesting about his faith is that he made his own Bible. One of the things that's famous about him is that he took the Bible and he took the gospel specifically, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And he did certain edits to it. Can you guys guess what Thomas Jefferson removed from the Bible? Take a wild guess.
Too wild.
So he took the four gospels and he kind of like cut out passages and then kind of re-glued them on another sheet of paper kind of thing to make his own version. But he famously edited out all the miracles and supernatural elements of the gospels. And so there's some, like, you can, if you go ever go to the Smithsonian in the States, it's like a famous museum. You can see the Jefferson Bible in that museum. And he's got certain quotes about this when I was doing research. He said, there will be found remaining, after he cuts out all the supernatural stuff, the things that he thinks are fluff. Once he gets rid of all the supernatural stuff in the Bible, he says, there will be found remaining the most sublime and benevolent code of morals which has ever been offered to man. Right, so he wanted to cut out all the supernatural miracles to find the most legit code of morals, right? Kind of like the best teachings of how to be a good person. So he wanted to kind of cut out everything so we could find the best kind of, here's the rules for how to be a good person. I performed this operation for my own use by cutting verse by verse out of the printed book and arranging the matter which is evidently his, and which is as easily distinguishable as diamonds in a dunghill. So he thought all the supernatural stuff in the New Testament was like the dunghill, like just poop. And so he's trying to pick the teachings of Jesus, which he thought were real, and cutting out all the supernatural mumbo jumbo. The result is an octavo or something like that. It's 1/8 of the 46 pages of pure and unsophisticated doctrines. So he takes the Bible and he cuts out 7/8 of the New Testament, all the supernatural things, just so we can get the moral teachings that teach you how to be a good person. And he also writes in another letter to somebody, the day will come when the mystical generation of Jesus, mystical generation refers to Jesus' supernatural birth, right? We just celebrated Christmas. We believe that the Holy Spirit came and supernaturally gave Mary a baby. So the mystical generation of Jesus, by the Supreme Being as his father, in the womb of a virgin, will be classed with the fable of the generation of Minerva in the brain of Jupiter. If you guys aren't familiar, Minerva is also the other name for Athena and Zeus, Jupiter is Zeus. So when Athena was born, she came out of Zeus's head because he had a headache. Weird story. But then Thomas Jefferson's like, hey, look, this silly story about a virgin supernatural birth, that's going to be a stupid legend, just like that Minerva and Jupiter or Zeus and Athena. So with Thomas Jefferson, when he read the New Testament, he saw Jesus as a religious teacher, somebody who had amazing moral ethic code, the best moral teacher out there. But he didn't believe any of the supernatural stuff. He thought all those miracles, he thought all the God speaking and doing all that stuff, he thought that was all mumbo jumbo. And so he cut out the Bible and he made this Bible that's all about the moral teachings of Jesus. And on one hand, I look at that and you're like, yo, that's ridiculous. Because the whole Bible is about God's miraculous stuff, right? God creates the world, right? God causes the flood. God saves people. God does this. God does miracle and miracle. The whole Bible is all about God doing supernatural things. From beginning to the end, it's all about God's supernatural powers. But Thomas Jefferson's like, no, that's all dumb. Like, it's all about the moral teachings. Even the Ten Commandments, how did Moses receive them? God wrote them on the rock with his finger, right? Like, it was a supernatural event. But Thomas Jefferson didn't care about the supernatural. He just wanted to know the rules. How do you live to be a good person? And on one hand, I look at this and I think, that's ridiculous, Thomas. Like, why would you do that? Like, the whole Bible is about supernatural power of God. Jesus came, like, if Jesus was just a human, nothing would make sense. But then I have to also think, too, about myself, right? As I, you know, maybe critically look at these people, I have to also think about myself, right? Thomas Jefferson's all about getting rid of the supernatural. And I wonder, too, in my life, how supernatural is my life, too? I remember growing up in church, a lot of times my view of Christianity was also about laws and rules. How many of us live our lives growing up as Christians thinking that Christianity is all about living these moral rules? I did, right? I used to think Christianity is all about following the Ten Commandments or following these rules the Bible taught, and that was about it. But I look back in a lot of my life, and a lot of my life didn't really pursue the supernatural, right? When it came to following God's rules, it was about me trying harder to follow God's rules. And I read these stories and miracles of God working and doing things, but it was all about just, how can I live to be a good person? It wasn't about God's power. And I think with Thomas Jefferson, he was very deliberate in cutting and pasting all the miracles and the supernatural parts of God. But I have to ask about ourselves, how many of us really look for the supernatural power of God in our lives? As you look back in 2021, how much of your Christian faith has been just trying to follow or failing at following God's rules? And how much of your 2021 has involved you seeking God's power in your life, seeing God at work around you and doing things? As we look in today's passage, it's interesting because Jesus is arrested and he's speaking to Pilate. If you guys remember, Jesus was arrested, like middle of the night, by a group of religious leaders. And they put him on trial, the religious leaders do, right? And they're trying to find reasons to execute Jesus because they don't like his teaching. And eventually they like, okay, we're going to get this guy killed, but we don't have the political authority. So we need to go to the Roman government, the Roman governor, and let him give us the okay to execute this guy. So these religious leaders take Jesus to the Roman governor, Pilate. And they're trying to get the Roman governor to say, yeah, you can kill him. And in this conversation Pilate has with Jesus, Pilate has to confront something that's really weird. And so Pilate says to him, "Hey, you're a king, right?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Which is a very interesting statement, right? Because usually if I were to be a kingdom of something, right, I'd be like, "I'm the king of Jonathanlandia over there," right? Or, "I'm the king of Minecraft," or whatever you kids play. Right? Like, "I'm the king of something," right? But Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he says, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." I mean, that makes sense, right? If Jesus was an earthly king, if Jesus was maybe trying to kick out the king of the region and become the king, then he would be like, "Hey, man, fight for me, fight for me. Like, get all my people to come and free me from these religious leaders." But Jesus says, "Look, my kingdom is not of this world. Like, I'm not looking for an earthly physical kingdom. And because I'm not looking for an earthly physical kingdom, there's like a different goal in mind." In another gospel, Jesus says that he could call down legions of angels to come and free him. Think about that. Jesus' kingdom is not earth, but like the universe. If Jesus wanted to be an earthly king, he would get his army to come and kick butt and free him. Right? If Jesus wanted to be the king on earth in that little period, he could call down angels to just wipe out everybody and do his thing. But Jesus' kingdom isn't about here on earth. His kingdom is a heavenly kingdom, a future kingdom that's going to last forever. And Pilate says, "You're a king then? You say that I'm a king," right? Kind of like, "You said it." And Jesus says, "I was born for this, and I've come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate says, "What is truth?" It's interesting, too. When Jesus came, he wanted to establish a kingdom that wasn't a regular physical kingdom. If you guys remember, there are other times in the Bible, like, for example, when Jesus feeds the crowds. What do the crowds want to do? They want to make him their physical king by force. So their idea is probably going to be, "Hey, look, this Jesus guy, we want him to be our king. Let's go attack the Roman government, kick them out, and we'll make Jesus our new king." But Jesus says, no, that's not what he's looking for. But Jesus came here to do something very different. It's a very otherworldly kind of a kingdom. And we look back at Jesus' life, everything about his life shows that there is a kingdom that's beyond the earth, right? I mean, think about it, right? When Jesus was born, what does John 1 say about Jesus? "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Before Jesus was born, he was already existent, even before he was born in the physical world. The Gospels tell us before Jesus was born, there were angels that predicted this guy will do a kingdom that's going to last forever and ever. There's prophecies in the Old Testament that also say that Jesus will come and save his people from their sins. Everything about Jesus points to a kingdom, not just here on earth, but an eternal kingdom. And it makes sense, right? His actions show that. Everything that he does points people to something that's transcendent. When he does miracles, what does he do? He doesn't just do miracles because, right, like, "I heal you." Well, guess what? You're still going to die. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus is still going to die. Right? He gives a blind man sight. That blind man's going to die eventually too, right? But Jesus also forgives sins. He forgives people so they can live forever with God. When Jesus is on earth, right, he declares and he teaches things that are about eternity, not just about here, but about eternity. And ultimately, Jesus is all about dying on the cross to forgive people of their sins so they can be with God forever. Right? His actions don't make sense if he's about the physical kingdom, right? He would be fighting, kicking butt. He would be trying to, you know, get free or something. But his kingdom is about that eternal kingdom. And the way to get there is that he has to die on the cross to forgive people of their sins so that they can be of the kingdom too. Right? So Jesus' actions, right? Like, if you think about it, Jesus' actions don't really make sense, right? Imagine, here's Jesus. And then where does actions go? All right, if he was, let's just say he was doing an earthly kingdom. Oops. He would be all about getting a base, like doing political rallies, getting the people behind him and to fight for him. Yeah, Rome, forget Rome. We're going to fight Rome and we're going to take over Israel. We're going to be free. So when he gets arrested, yeah, rise up, my people, you know, and they're going to fight and kick butt and eventually kick out the Romans. But that's not what Jesus does. Instead, oops, all his actions point to something that goes beyond the earth. He teaches about eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is that. He forgives sins so that people can live forever to be with God. He allows himself to be arrested and eventually killed. Everything points to something that only makes sense if he's doing an eternal kingdom. Right? If you read Thomas Jefferson's Bible, it ends with Jesus dying and being buried, and that's that. And I wonder too, like, the story doesn't really make sense. If he's such a good moral teacher, wouldn't he, like, teach his way out of this? Wouldn't he try to fight his way out of this execution? Wouldn't he say, look, no, I got to teach more people, man. Don't do this. But instead, in the Bible, we see that Jesus wanted to die, wanted to, you know, get himself killed on the cross so that he could forgive people's sins. All his actions pointed to some heavenly truth that went beyond his earthly life. And as Christians, right, that's what we look for, right? I hope. As Christians, we believe in Jesus, not just so that we can have our best life now, not so that we can have all the money or pleasure or life now. It's all about the life in the future. And you look at the New Testament, look at the other Christians, how they lived. Everybody that we recorded, all the Christians we can follow, I guess, in the New Testament, live a life that only makes sense if there's something that goes beyond the regular world. Right? Think about it, right? Peter and the disciples, what do? After the resurrection, they go out and they preach the gospel. We have traditions about all the apostles except one getting killed for their faith. Remember what happened last week when we talked about Peter, when he was confronted. Hey, do you know Jesus? What did Peter say? He denied. I don't know who the heck you're talking about, man. Right? But then later on in Acts chapter 2, Jesus is preaching in front of those religious leaders. Jesus came. No other name can save people, man. You need to believe. Even though he gets thrown in jail, he goes back out there and he keeps preaching Jesus. It doesn't matter if he's going to die because there's a supernatural power in him through the Holy Spirit. And there's an otherworldly goal in mind. And think of the disciple, Stephen, right? When he was getting killed, he wasn't looking forward to earthly stuff. He saw Jesus and was okay. And when the Apostle Paul was on earth too, instead of just pursuing an earthly goal, he kept preaching and preaching and risking his life over and over again. He even said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Even if he were to die, he still has Jesus, this otherworldly goal, and everything else doesn't really matter. And we see, too, this goal affects how they live their lives, right? Paul always talks about how he prays and prays and prays. I'm constantly praying for you. I'm constantly praying for you. I'm constantly praying for you. In a bunch of his letters, he talks about that a lot. And his mission, too, is all about the power of God. When Paul talks about how he does stuff, he says, yet not I, but through Christ in me, right? I'm doing stuff. I'm working super hard, but it's Jesus working in me. And we see this theme that their lives are full of Jesus' supernatural power working toward a supernatural goal. And I think about my life too. I think about what I do or maybe don't do, let's say. All of Jesus' actions testify to something that's bigger than just life on earth. Everything in Jesus' life, right, points to something that is a heavenly kingdom. It points to something that's bigger than Jesus, right? Same with Paul's life. Everything points to something that's bigger than Paul, something that's supernatural. All his actions show there is something bigger in this world. When Paul was in prison, what is Paul doing? He was singing and worshiping God. There is something that's bigger out there. And I wonder, too, in my life and in our lives as well, what does my life testify to? Does my life also testify to a bigger truth? about God. Like for example, let's take some examples, right? Let's just say, this is you.
Yay!
Okay, like that's kind of creepy, whatever. You get the idea. Let's say this is you, and let's just take an area of prayer. And let's just say yes and no, or maybe a lot or little or whatever. I want to ask you guys, for your past year, 2021, with your prayer life, what truth does that testify to? Does it testify to a kingdom that's not of this world? For example, are your prayers all about life in this world, or do they also transcend something else? Right? Because, for example, if all we pray about are things about on earth, what does that say about our belief in the heavenly something? It may or may not exist because you never really pray about it. Or maybe if your prayer life is all about yourself and all about God for you, what does that say about what you believe about God's mission? Right? If you just pray about yourself, then the truth you're saying is that God only cares about me. He doesn't really care about other people. Or maybe some of us don't really pray. We don't really pray. What does that say about the truth in our lives about something supernatural? It probably means we don't really believe in the supernatural, right? Because we're not talking to God because we probably don't really believe he exists. Or we believe that he can't help. Or we believe that he's just kind of out there. And I want to really ask, like, what does our prayer life testify to? Right? Because if we really truly believe that God is out there, we will pray very often. Right? Imagine there is this creator that created the universe, who created the trees and the sky and the moon and whatever, whatever, whatever. The one that created all of us. The one that sustains us and keeps us alive. The one that can save us from our sins. The one that protects us in our day-to-day. The one that can give us life. If we truly believe that he exists, then we'll likely, hopefully, pray to him. But if we don't, that means that we probably don't think he exists. At least that's what our actions show. Or maybe think about other areas of our lives too, right? We've been talking a lot about spiritual disciplines. How about Bible reading? You know, we say that, yeah, we believe in God and we believe in the Bible and whatnot. But what does your actions say? Right? Legitimately, like, what do your actions really show? When you read your Bible, is it like, yeah, I believe that this is the word of God and God came down to speak to me through this word. Right? We believe this thing is active and living, sharper than any double-edged sword. I believe the Holy Spirit can speak to me through this passage. I believe this is God's teaching to guide me to him, etc., etc., etc. When you read your Bible, do you have that kind of an attitude? Right? Because somebody who's super like, yeah, I want to do this. The truth they're testifying to is that there is an otherworldly kingdom. There's a God they really want to get to know. But if you look back on how much you read your Bible, or maybe if you do read your Bible, what's your attitude about it? What does that really say about what you feel about God? Right? For me, I think a lot of times as kids, those are interesting stories. And once I knew it, I don't need to read it. But that tells God and people around me that God is just a story. Or maybe, I remember there were times where my parents had me read the Bible, and I remember like copying verses down in this notebook. I don't remember why. I don't remember what happened to it. But I just remember doing that. But it was kind of a chore. Right? Kind of like, okay, fine, I gotta do this. When I do that, right, when reading my Bible and doing that becomes a chore, I'm telling the world that, yeah, God is a chore. God is a pain in the butt. I have to do this because I have to do this. Or how about maybe how you Oh, this is getting more evil. How about interacting with other people? The words that you speak and say. All right, yesterday in youth group, the youth fellowship, we talked about this. How we use our words. And we, of course, only tip of the iceberg. We couldn't go super deep into it. But how about your words that you speak? What does it testify to? If the people, if I were to ask your friends at school or your classmates or coworkers or whatever, what does this person believe in based on what they say? Will they be able to say, yes, I believe that, you know, my friend believes in a whatever transcendental God. Yes, I believe that this person gave their life to Jesus Christ and that Jesus means everything to them. Yes, I believe this. From what they say, what I'm hearing, I get the vibe that they really love this Jesus guy, right? Or, yeah, I get the vibe that they're really happy their sins are forgiven. Or they want people to know Jesus or something, right? The question is, do our words show that we believe in something that is also beyond this world? Or if we ask our friends, are they just going to say like, yeah, he really likes this video game. Anything else? Pizza? I don't know. Right? Do our words really show that, yes, we testify to something that goes beyond this life? Remember too, in youth group as well, yesterday, we looked at the Bible passage that Jesus said, the words that come out of our mouth is from the overflow of our hearts. The things that we say, it's what's bubbling inside of us, right? So we say good things because our hearts are good. We say bad things because our hearts are bad. We say earthly things if our hearts are all about earthly stuff. We talk about this because we're crazy about whatever it is, right? And look back at your year 2021. What are the things you talked about, either to God in prayer or maybe with your friends or classmates or coworkers? Does it testify? Does it point to something that is bigger than this world? And then also for adults, right? How do you use your money? How do you use your checkbook? Right? One of my old seminary professors, Dr. Howard Hendricks, he lost his eye to cancer. So he's an old guy and with like an eye patch, like a little pirate man. And he would say, you show me your checkbook, I'll show you your priorities. All right, how much of us use our money toward God's kingdom? Right, whether it be giving to church as offering, or maybe you see people that are lonely, you want to use that money to take them out to get some lunch. Or you can support people that are poor through like a Compassion Child or some other thing, I don't know. How many of us try to use our money for something that goes beyond our own benefit? And I want us to really think in different ways, how does our life really testify to Jesus Christ? It doesn't. And again, I'm talking to you guys as somebody who admits that for a long time, I didn't. Right? The things that I said to my friends are a lot of really crude, dirty jokes. A lot of racist, sexist humor back then. A lot of mean stuff. My Bible reading told the world, if people could watch me, told the world that this is just a book I have to read as a chore. My prayer life would tell people that prayer is something that I just do on Sundays or at meals. It's not really something I need to do. I think I messed up a lot as a kid growing up. How was your 2021? I want to encourage you guys, as we're still in early 2022, how can we really dedicate our lives to testify something in Jesus for 2022? What truth? What do you want your life to testify to? And again, like, if you guys don't know what the word testify means, it's like a witness telling other people about something. Right? So testifying is like, hey man, I want to tell you about this. I want to tell you about that, let's say. What truth do you want people to know in your life? Again, this could be people at school, people at your family, people at work. This could be just you privately with your prayer life, testifying to God how much he's worth. What truth do you want to testify to in 2022? Maybe for some of us, we need to testify. We want the people to know, we want to experience the fact that God's word is wonderful, that it's powerful, that it changes. Or maybe for some of us, we want to testify that God is there for us. So I need to pray more. I need to pray for God's help, pray for God's assistance, pray for God's work in my life. Right? Get that supernatural power up in your life to change you, to change the people around you, to do things that only God can do. Maybe for some of us, the truth is that we want to testify that Jesus is for everybody. Your friends at school, they need Jesus, and Jesus wants to know them too. Your coworkers that aren't Christian, Jesus wants you to share the good news with them too. Or maybe with your finances, right? Maybe you want to testify to the world that God is more important than your checkbook. God is more important than your money. You're willing to sacrifice your money for the sake of God and His cause. Maybe it's your time. You want to sacrifice some time, right? Some non-Christians, right? It feels like they have so much more time, right? If you take the time out of reading your Bible, what, like, let's say 15 or 20 minutes a day, that adds up. Coming to worship together for a period of time every Sunday, that takes a lot of time too. Spending time in fellowship, that takes time too, right? Maybe you want to testify to people, this is something that I love to do. It is wonderful. It is powerful. God works through these situations. What is it that you want to testify to for 2022? What do you want the world to know? What do you want God to know about what you believe? And I think, again, it's really important. Because if our lives don't really point in this direction, right? What does the Apostle James say? James says, faith without works is dead. You say you believe, but if you don't have actions to back it up, the question is that faith really there? I would say no. If I say I believe in God, but never pray to Him, what do my actions really say? If I believe Jesus came, but I don't really care about the things that teach me about what Jesus did, do I really believe that Jesus really came? If I think that Jesus came to die for my sins, but I don't care about showing other people about that truth, do I really, truly believe that Jesus came to die for my sins? And again, James says faith without works is dead, which means that that faith is not going to save you, right? It means that the faith that you have probably doesn't really exist. You're trusting in something that is fake. Not that, again, really quickly, not that you do things to be saved, right? Again, I want to make that clear. It's not like I need to read my Bible, I need to pray, I need to do those things for Jesus to save me. But rather, if I truly believe in Him, I will do it. Right? If I say I love soccer, I'm going to go out and play some soccer, right? If we say that we truly love Jesus, our actions will conform to that. And my worry for a lot of Christians is that they say they believe in Jesus, but they're kind of like Thomas Jefferson. I believe in Jesus, but the idea of Jesus is totally not the Jesus of the Bible. And when they die and go to Jesus, what's going to happen? He's going to say, yeah, I believe in you, Jesus. And Jesus is going to be like, what the heck do you believe in? The Jesus you think you believe in is nothing like me. Right? Because Thomas Jefferson would say, look, man, I believe in this version of Jesus. And Jesus would be like, yo, that's not me. Whoever the heck that is, that's not me. And if we go to Jesus and we're like, yeah, Jesus, I believe in you. And you're like, what Jesus do you believe in? Do you really believe in the Jesus of the Bible, or do you believe in Jesus that just helps you or just makes you rich or just makes you happy? Like, that's not me. You believe in somebody else. That's not me. And we know that for people that don't believe in Jesus, their punishment is going to be very bad. So I want to make sure that we do believe in the correct Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, and their actions really show it. And also, too, again, mentioning that Thomas Jefferson didn't believe in the supernatural. I want us to also believe in the supernatural, though, on the other hand. Because if we don't, we're missing out on God. Right? We're reading our Bibles, but if we don't believe that God can work through it, you're missing out on God working in your heart. One thing I appreciate about our Word Go study group and also our fellowship is that people share a lot about how this passage, God spoke to them. They were going through a struggle or a trial or something, and they read this Bible passage and prayed to God, and God calmed their hearts at this time. Or they wanted to have direction or certain things in their life, and as they prayed to God and read their Bibles and spent time with God and other Christians, God helped guide and lead them in the right direction. Right? That only happens if they really depend on God and they really seek God. And for maybe some of you Christians, you won't even read your Bible. It's like, this is stupid. This is boring. You're missing out. If your prayer life is just kind of repeating the same thing over and over again or praying really shallow things, you're missing out. And I want our church to be full of people that experience God's work in our lives. that experience God not only for eternity in the future in heaven and that kind of stuff, but that God's heavenly kingdom invades our world and makes a difference. I want our church to grow, not because we have special skills or special talents. So we have like, oh yeah, this person's super good at this. This person's super good at that. Or we have enough money for church because we got a bunch of rich people. But I want our church to grow because we testify to God's power coming in here and working among us. Right? Because the world works on power and skill, right? Whatever company you work for, right? They succeed because their staff are powerful, their staff is smart, their workers are the best. But our church gets better or worse if we depend on God or not. Not because we're smart or good or powerful, but because God is smart and good and powerful. So I want us to think, we're about to resume in worship in a second. As we sing the song, I Surrender All. Right? Surrendering means you give up. It means you kind of, you stop fighting. You stop doing your own thing. You surrender something. Right? When you surrender something, it means you give it up to somebody. And the song is I Surrender All. It's to give everything to God. And I want us to see what areas that we really need to work on. And so that when other people see our lives, they'll see that we testify to the truth. And that when God sees our life, he'll see that, yeah, we really do believe and really do follow. And in doing so, we can really experience God's power in our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for coming down to die for our sins. Your life is all about the supernatural power of God. You came to do what we couldn't do. We can't follow your teachings because, well, we're imperfect. We can't live like you because, well, we're flawed. We're all imperfect. But you are perfect because you are God. I pray that all of us in here will really seek you, Lord. Help us to not just give you lip service and say, yeah, you're supernatural, yeah, you're special, or yeah, you're our Lord. But help us to really live it. Forgive me, Lord, for all the years I spent just kind of saying that I followed you, but never really doing anything. For not taking praying and reading my Bible seriously. For not taking my sin seriously. For not taking those things seriously. Forgive me for saying that I'm a Christian, but living totally differently. Forgive me, God, when other people could see that I was not really being a Christian. Forgive me, God, because my actions pointed my non-Christian friends in the wrong direction. When they saw me, they saw something that was not anywhere close to you, Jesus. And so I bet they had the wrong idea of what Christianity was. Forgive me for that. I pray that you guide all of us to really seek you. I pray that our lives can be filled with your power and change. I pray that all of us can take a deep look at our 2021 and ask for forgiveness in the ways that we messed up. And also ask for hope and change for a good future with you. And I pray that our 2022, Lord, we'll be able to tell the people around us about you through our actions and our words. And through that, I pray that your kingdom that's not of this world can spread and spread and spread. We thank you, Lord, for all your grace and mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's rise and sing together. May our lives continue to point towards Jesus and his kingdom.
Thank you.
We're going to take a moment of silence in a little bit. And just, I want to ask you, right, what do you want your life to testify to in 2022? Right, what do you want your life to speak volumes about? And maybe, again, you can think of different contexts, right, from different viewpoints. Right, like maybe your viewpoint is like your friends. What message do you want to tell your friends with your life? Maybe for you, you want them to know that Jesus is amazing, that Jesus is the best, and you want to live your life so that they'll see that. So they'll see that God is, like, you're not just a Christian in name, but like God is great, and you want them to also know about God too. Maybe you want to testify to God. Let God see that you really believe in him, that you really truly trust in him. What is it that you really want to testify? And what can you do to commit to happen? For example, again, maybe your friends. Maybe you want your friends to know how much you love Jesus and how great he is. Maybe you can mention your faith here and there. Right? Maybe you can share like something you're going through and what about your life. It doesn't have to be like, you know, I'm going to sit you down and talk to you about Jesus for 20 minutes. But one thing I appreciate that Mitzi does is she tells her coworkers about church and what she does and her experiences serving God. Maybe you can do that as well, right? Your friends are talking about, yeah, last week I went to the movies or yesterday I did this or this. You can say, hey, like, yeah, I went to church and got to worship God and I think I was pretty good. Something small. It doesn't have to be really big. But maybe you can start talking a little bit about your faith to your friends or your coworkers. Maybe you want to testify to God that you really, truly trust in him and believe in him, that he's worth it. So maybe you can just start praying a little bit. Right? It doesn't have to be an hour a day. Just spend 2 minutes, a minute here and there, just to start. Or maybe, again, you want to show that the Bible is important. Right? God's word is truly God's word. So maybe you can start reading your Bible a little bit again. 5 minutes a day, something small to start. Doesn't have to be big. Maybe you want to show God and others that God is more important than your money and your finances, and you're willing to give to God. Right? You can give tithing at your church or offering, or maybe to support some other Christian cause as well, like Compassion Kid or something. Or you can use your money to support and encourage other people at church. Right? Somebody looks a little lonely, you can give them a little gift or invite them out to lunch or do something. Right? Use that money to benefit somebody in God's name. Maybe it's your time. Right, you spend so much time. If somebody looks at your life, they're going to be like, man, this person really loves video games, really loves social media, really loves something. But God's kind of down here. Maybe for you, you can begin carving out time for God, taking out a little bit here, giving it to God, a little time here, giving it to God to read, pray your Bible, or something, whatever that is. So, two questions. What do you want your life to testify to in 2022? And what can you do? What can you commit to do to make it happen? It can be a really baby step. Doesn't have to be something big. Don't worry about it. Just baby steps at the beginning. Let's take a moment of silence and think about what we can do. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done in our lives. As I look back on my 2021, Lord, I see that I try to do a lot of things on my own, and I tried to accomplish a lot of things, and I worried about a lot of things, but I didn't proportionally pray as much. And I could see that in my own life, Lord. I testify that I thought I could do a lot on my own. That my life testifies of the fact that I didn't really fully trust you in a lot of issues that I worried about or freaked out about. That I testified to the world and to you that I thought I could do better than you in a lot of ways because I didn't seek you. I pray that you forgive me, Lord, for my, lack of trust. And I pray that my 2022 will be a time of trusting in you better, spending more time in prayer, and really seeking you, God, earnestly. Like, legitimately seeking you whenever I'm worried or scared, whenever things feel overwhelming. And if I just need direction and just praying to you just nonstop, God, help me to have that kind of an attitude so that I can testify to others that you are there to hear me. You are there to help me. You are there to guide me. You are there in my life. Whatever it is that the rest of the people here are praying about, Lord, I pray that you also help them in that as well. I pray that our 2022 can be a wonderful year, whether the pandemic comes or goes, whether there's new variants or not, whether the borders open, whether the economy gets better or not, whether those things happen. I pray that we will grow closer to you and be able to testify to the world that you are real in our lives and that we are evidence of that. I pray that we can testify to the world that there is something outside of this world, that what we have here on earth is not everything, but there is something more waiting for us. And I pray that our lives can testify to the world that God loves us and God loves them too. And that Jesus Christ loves us and them so much that he came to die to bring us to be with him. Guide us and lead us wherever we need to go, whatever we need to change, whatever truth we need to testify, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit works in each and every one of our hearts for 2022. Guide us and lead us, Lord, and let it be a wonderful year that testifies to your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may all be seated. Thank you guys for worshiping with us today. Some quick announcements. We have adult fellowship this Friday night at 7. We have first Word Go sharing with our Word Go study group. And so if you guys want to join, we have a Word Go reading group. It uses an app, helps kind of guide and lead. It gives you passage every day. It gives you a couple of questions to ask yourself and, you know, understand it better. And also some notes. And it's a free app. Most of the readings, if you go quickly, it can end in a few minutes. Like 5 minutes is not heavy duty. If you want to go longer, you can, obviously. We invite you guys, if you want to join our group, if you want to get a regular Bible reading group. But we have a Word Go sharing this Friday at 7 o'clock. And adult fellowship this 7:40. And we're going to be talking about this topic, too. And I think one thing that helps with fellowship is that it's a time of interaction and sharing, right? Because usually Sunday morning, we can't really have a full discussion. And so fellowship time is a time to be able to share, discuss, pray for each other, encourage, and that good back and forth to help each other grow. Next week is English worship and also youth fellowship after that and English worship too. Next slide. Oh, we have a birthday coming up. Jalen. So I made you a physical therapy cake. As you can see, there's like a yoga mat on the floor. There's a foam roller. There's a PVC pipe. There's like a massage roller, a couple cones. There's a bunch of tools, right? You don't need to use all of it, Jalen, but I hope you find some of those things useful for you. If you guys don't know, Jalen's a physical therapist, so it's not a random cake for her. Upcoming special opportunities. We have the thing from Ivy Clark. An experiential journey in the Beatitudes. And so if you guys remember, Ivy spoke last year, late last year, November? October. Okay, there we go. Feels so long ago, but so quick. Anyhow, she's going to be doing a lab, kind of like a workshop with two other people. And it's going to help us to work through the Beatitudes. Beatitudes are the blessed are the blank, for they shall blank. That stuff in the Sermon on the Mount. And so instead of just reading it, we're going to be discussing and kind of working through it with a little bit of homework and things like that. And it'll be on Wednesdays from 4 to 6 p.m. The cost is $55, and it'll be online. And the deadline will be today if you guys want to sign up. So it's $55 per person. It's $90 for a couple. And I'm still waiting on Ivy to give me the link for that. If one of you guys are married couples, want to join, I'm going to send you that link too. Yeah. I encourage you guys to join that. Next slide. There's also a seminar that's going to be from a group called Calm Agape. But they're not really sure exactly how it's going to be online or in person because it's originally going to be at UBC and online and in person. But yeah, this thing, logistics got to be worked out and they're going to give me a date once they figure things out. But Jesus asked a question, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And I think it's very important for us to really answer that question. Who do we really believe Jesus is? And so she's going to give a short talk about that. And I'll give you guys, you know, the exact times once I get them. Next slide. Some announcements. Also, how you can serve. Like, Mitzi already did the calendar for the few months with worship. Like, doing the singing. Thank you, Cindy, for that today. I'm also working on putting the calendar with people that do other behind-the-scenes stuff, like Zoom, admitting, controlling the PowerPoint, welcoming people. Right? If new people come, have people designated to be able to talk to them and make them feel welcome. Doing the announcements and also scripture reading. So these all are important. It is important that it's not just me or a few people up in front. But every single person here is equally important to this church. And so it's great when we see different people serving in different capacities. Right? It shows that everybody's important to our church. Also, another way you can serve is through offering, supporting through monetary giving to be able to support our church and what we do here. Next slide. So the question for catch-up time, it's been a while since we've done this, so we're looking forward to this. What can you commit to do to testify the truth about Jesus in 2022? Right, what can you testify about Jesus? Right, and again, maybe for me, like I think for me, I want to testify that I really depend on God's power. Again, like as I prayed, I think in 2021, I did a lot of things on my own. I prayed some, but I feel like I don't really show trust in God sometimes. Right, I let anxieties get in my head and I just run with it. Or when things got to happen, I don't really spend enough time with God praying before I get to work. And that shows that I can do it better. So for me, I want to testify that I'm nothing without Jesus. Or if you don't know what to say, you can also say, what's a highlight of your week?